Hebrews chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Let's give our attention to God's holy word. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison, as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated, as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods, which are of no value to those who eat them. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering. The bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Well, beloved, I've mentioned the name of Richard Hobson before on several occasions, a man who pastored in Liverpool, England, over 100 years ago. And if you ever read Richard Hobson's autobiography, which I heartily encourage you would do sometime, it's one of the most encouraging books on life and work in the church that I've ever read. You will see that the autobiography of Richard Hobson is organized by years of his life and ministry. And he begins each chapter, which is each year of his autobiography, recording the theme verse that he selected for that year in the life of his congregation. Every year, Hobson would pick a verse, preach on that verse the first Lord's Day in every new year, and that was to be a theme verse for his congregation in that coming year. Well, this morning, as you recall, we had an excellent candidate for such a purpose, a theme verse for a year, Romans 8:32. "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" What a great verse to have in our minds and our hearts as we enter into a new year. But over the last few weeks, as I've been going here and there and traveling and meeting all sorts of people, family and friends, as I've been hearing people speak about things, engaging in a lot of conversation, as I've been seeing what people have been going through, and as I myself have been experiencing many different circumstances personally and different kinds of relationships that I'm involved in and relationships all around me, my mind kept returning to the last chapter of the book of Hebrews and to this one verse in particular, Hebrews 13, verse 14. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. And it just struck me in how many different circumstances and very different circumstances that this verse came to my mind. Here we have no lasting city. I'd speak to one person about one sort of thing, and in my mind just came the thought, oh, here we have no lasting city. Another situation, very different, and yet the same thought. Here we have no lasting city. No abiding, no continuing, no enduring city. And I think this verse is so helpful because it really serves two purposes at once. It achieves, by God's grace, two beneficial results in those who take its message to heart. The first thing that this verse does is it, in such a powerful way, counteracts, or ought to counteract, materialism and secularism, living for the here and the now. And of course, that's the way the world lives and thinks. The world thinks and lives and prioritizes and plans according to the value system that makes the things of this life the most important things. But this verse ought to wean us from worldliness. Here we have no lasting city. The treasures and pleasures of this life, though they may be good in and of themselves and blessings, they will perish, spoil, and fade. How foolish then to have our lives revolve around such things. How short-sighted to have the things of this life as our security and our happiness. Here we have no lasting city. We need to hear that. So tragic to hear people. And I was engaged in some interaction and some conversation over the last number of weeks. It's so tragic to hear people endlessly talking only about things that are temporary and fleeting and fading away. That's all they talk about. It's all they want to talk about. It's all they're interested in. Things that are going to fade away. As I spoke with people, my heart was just crying with them and for them. Here we have no lasting city. What are you doing building your life on these things? Do you know it's sometimes even true of believers? Though it shouldn't be, that our lives can start to revolve around the things of this life. Shouldn't be true of believers. The life of faith that's held out in the book of Hebrews throughout its chapters shows us something quite different. Hebrews 11:10, speaking of Abraham, the father of the faithful, the one who was promised physical land, physical Israel. But the writer to the Hebrews says he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Paul says in Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there. What are Christians eagerly waiting for? The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The ushering in of the new heavens and the new earth. That's what Peter said in 2 Peter 3:13. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. That's where our mind is. That's where our hope and priorities are. And so in Hebrews 13:14, we have that testimony, for here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. And the writer to the Hebrews uses a word there in the second part of that verse. We are looking for a city that is to come. That same verb was used by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount when he said in chapter 6, verse 31 of Matthew, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. What the New International translates in 6:32 of Matthew as run after is the same verb, the same word that's used in Hebrews 13:14 for we are looking for a city. And so you see the contrast. This is what the world looks for, what they run after. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? But Christians, with the same, hopefully, passion, perspective, priority, are looking for, are running after the city that is to come. And it begs the question, what are you running after? Is the answer to that question any different from your neighbors and how they would answer that question? Or your coworkers, or the other young people around you at school or at college? What are they running after? What are you running after? What are they looking for? What are you looking for? Here we have no lasting city. The truth that the things that the world runs after are things that fade away ought to cut to the very root of worldliness and materialism in our minds and in our lives. That's the first great use of this verse, an application of the verse. Here we have no lasting city. It should deal the death blow to materialism and secularism and living only for this life. But at the same time, this same verse, while it on the one hand deals with worldliness, on the other hand, it also provides a real comfort for the people of God, especially those who are suffering. And it's the calling of the church to suffer. If any man would follow me, let him pick up his cross and deny himself and follow me. You see how the same verse that warns us against materialism is exactly the same truth that that encourages Christians who are suffering. Here we have no lasting city. The pains, the sorrows and struggles of this life are not forever. It may seem unending to you. You know, and I deal with, I speak to people sometimes, and that's the perspective. They just say, this is just unending. I just can't see the end of what I'm dealing with and what I'm struggling with. You may be crying out with the prophet, how long, O Lord? But here's the comfort. Here we have no lasting city. The struggles of this life are not forever. We look forward to the city that is to come. And John writes of that city in Revelation 21, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That is the great eternal hope and comfort of the people of God. And it's embodied in Hebrews 13:14. Here we have no enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. And you know, the wonderful thing is, even as we wait for the fulfillment of the promise of God and the coming of the new heavens and the new earth, the children of God already have the inward spiritual comfort and strength of those promises. It's amazing to read in Hebrews 12:22. We're thinking of the city. Here we have no lasting city, the city of man. We are looking for the city that is to come. But in Hebrews 12:22, it says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the city of the living God. There's a present reality to the comfort of the promises of God. And so it's not just something that's yet to come. It's something that we already in principle experience and enjoy. We have to suffer, but we don't suffer without hope. We don't suffer without the strength of God's Spirit dwelling within us. And so we see this twofold benefit in this one verse. Here we have no lasting city. It weans us from the world, and it woos us to heaven and comforts us with the prospect of eternal glory. I think a practical question that we need to ask is, what do we do in the meantime? Here we have no enduring city. We are looking for the city that is to come. But what do we do in the meantime? Do we just sit back and passively let the passing world go by? No, indeed. My father has a neighbor who seemed old to us when we were young and still living at home. His name is Mr. McDonald, and so we called him Old McDonald, boys and girls, and you can guess it, he lived down the road on a farm. Old McDonald does have a farm. I know him. He lives down the road from my parents. It seemed that he was already old when we were young, but he's still alive. He's in his mid-90s. He's 95 or 96 years old. Still lives on his own. Still drives a tractor around and does the work around the farm. My dad was speaking to him a couple of weeks ago. And my dad mentioned about some of the projects that he was doing and some of the things he had planned. My dad mentioned that he would be ordering some young maple tree saplings to plant in the coming year. And Mr. McDonald, 95 years old, replied to my dad, "While you're at it, would you order me a few? I've always wanted to make my own maple syrup." What a great attitude. 95 years old. But you know, it struck me. That's the way we should live as Christians. Martin Luther, when someone asked him what he would do today if he knew the world would end tomorrow, said he would plant a tree. You see, even though we have a great hope and we're looking forward to and we're longing, we're eagerly awaiting the city that is to come, while God has us in this life, we have things to do. We have work to do. That was Paul's whole thinking in Philippians when he says, I wish that I could go and be with Christ, which is far better. But he knew the Lord still had work for him to do. And so he put his hand to the plow. And he didn't just sit back and wait for the world to come. You know, we see that when we read carefully the life of the people of faith recorded in Hebrews 11, for example. People who are encouraged by the hope of the coming heavenly city, who lived and worked and preached the gospel with greater confidence, with more urgency and expectation, because they had the hope of the coming city. It made them not less, but more useful and more spiritually adventurous, because they knew, here we have no lasting city, but we're looking forward to the city to come. That truth encouraged them to persevere in spite of present hardships and opposition. They weren't crushed. They weren't paralyzed by their suffering and struggle, because they knew, here we have no lasting city. We are looking for the city to come. And that's really the context of Hebrews 13, 14. If you look at just the verses that come before, Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace that he bore. It speaks about the opposition that we'll have in living the Christian life. The struggles, the opposition that Moses faced. You read in Hebrews 11. But then you see verse 14 starts, "For." So it gives the explanation. Why are we people who are able and willing to endure the suffering of the gospel and to keep on going? For here we have no enduring city. It's the answer to the ability to persevere. We seek the city that is to come. Again, Martin Luther once said, "I have held many things in my hands, and I have lost them all." Now, I wonder what was in his mind when he said that. Money, material possessions. I think he may have been thinking about earthly relationships. He was a father who lost children, young children, that he at one time held in his hands, and then they were taken from him. I've held many things in my hands, and I've lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess. And this is our attitude. Here we have no lasting city. We can't grab at these things. But we place them in God's hands. We place our lives in God's hands. And we have a great encouragement. Here we have no lasting city. We are looking forward to the city that is to come.